Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Now, what is this about Bartlett not wanting to go to Tucson because there's not enough water?
There's a lot of beaches, just not enough ocean.
Doesn't she realize that you're just a few hours' drive from Malibu?
Well, she would definitely go there then, in that case. If she knew she was that close to Malibu, she'd be there.
My goodness. Well, we have Birdsong with us.
Yeah, he's on
wonderful.
The line. I knew.
First, the outstanding play-by-play voice of Bucknell basketball, and I say that with great sincerity and respect, my good friend and colleague Doug Birdsong joining us from Tucson. Number one, my friend, where did they stick you for the NIT? What hotel?
Well, where number eight seats go, Steve, Viscount Suite Hotel.
Oh, no. That means you're downtown on Broadway.
We are, yes. As a matter of fact, actually, you know, it's not a bad hotel. It's a very nice bunch of suites and so forth. Actually, they say that's where
Doug,
all of the visitors
Doug, it's okay. They're not going to give you Viscount points by praising them, okay?
All right.
I have one question, though. Is it the real kind of suite where there's separate rooms, or is it all one room that's kind of separated by a little piece of carpet or something, suites?
Well, actually, it's kind of one long.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Remember, Doug, he considers it a suite if there's only one bed in
that's
there.
That's exactly right.
How true.
I mean, really, in the end, that's the way. So they put you downtown. So they didn't take you to the Catalina foothills. They didn't put you in Ventana Canyon.
They did not. No. We were right stuck downtown, only a few blocks away from the UA campus.
Oh, well. Did they at least have a shoot-around at Catalina Foothills High School?
You know, they didn't. Actually, we ended up with the shoot-around at the McHale Center here just a little bit ago. In fact, we just came back from there.
You'll be foul line across from your bench.
Actually, you know what? They just switched that because we're going to be right next to our bench, which not necessarily enamored with, actually, because just Coach Paulson stands up in front of us all the time.
So much for the crowd, Mike.
United Center in Chicago. United Center Chicago, 2001. Penn State beat second-ranked Michigan State in the quarterfinals to get to the Big Ten semifinals. Shot clock's running down. I'm next to the bench. The ball swings to Joe Crispin. Jerry Dunn stands up, and all I see is the ball coming out of his head. Right? Right? You never assume when you broadcast. This time I did because Crispin shot it. I assumed it was a three. Then he made it.
And it was a three.
And all I saw was the ball coming out of Jerry's head. I mean, that's all I saw. I've done 9 games in the McHale Center in my career. It is a beautiful facility. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it really is, Steve. And, you know, they aren't expecting too many students because they're on spring break. But I bet when you've called games there have been quite a few students. And it makes it just an enormously big home court advantage.
Yeah, it's 13,000 seats, and it's gorgeous. Last year, of course, I was there for the NCAA tournament. Before that, other tournaments that they've held there, the Fiesta Bowl Classics. Let's talk about Bucknell. The one thing you have to do when you get into a situation in the NIT, as someone who's an expert on the subject, I've done 29 NIT games, Doug. I'm the active leader. It's going to take you a long time to catch me.
Well, and this is Doug's first, so.
I know, it's Doug's
first.
Is that the first thing you have to do in all seriousness, though, is get your team mentally engaged in the tournament. Is Bucknell, after the disappointment of Lehigh, mentally engaged in the task at hand?
You know, I do think that they are, Steve, and you hit that dead on. In fact, there's a lot of media circulating around Tucson as to whether Arizona is mentally engaged. You know, they came within a shot of going on to the NCAA tournament themselves, and they went to the Elite Eight last year, losing some great players from that team, but still have a number of three starters coming back. And, you know, that's the question mark from the Arizona media perspective. But I'm glad you brought it up about Bucknell, too, because, you know, even some of the – now that the NCAA owns the NIT and some of these other mid-major, whatever, conference schools, when they don't win their conference tournament, don't move on to the NCAA, now they are playing in the NIT. That's a great question for those teams, too, because, you know, they also had that hope, that dream, that ambition of going on to the NCAA tournament. And to answer your question, I do believe this Bucknell team mentally is focused for tonight.
Because the NIT is the only the NIT is a tournament. We have 30 schools in it, 32 schools. All 32 are coming off losses.
That's a great point. That's a very great point. And again, that goes back to that motivation that you were discussing and who can get up for another tournament that isn't, quote-unquote, the national tournament, even though you are a, quote-unquote, national champion if you are the last one standing out of this group of 32. Again, the mental state just means so much. But, you know, one thing I think that can help a team like Bucknell, they haven't, under Coach Paulson, been able to get that signature win. They beat Richmond last year. Richmond went on to the Sweet 16. But they've been so close. At Marquette last year, could have easily won. At Villanova last year, could have easily won. At Minnesota this year, could have easily won. Played Syracuse tougher than what most people thought. Didn't have a chance to win, but still played them a little tougher. You know, they've had their opportunities. Could this be the chance that they finally come over the top and end up getting that win?
Well, you're going up against a team in Arizona that plays very well at home. They're 14-3 at the McHale Center this year, and I think they've won their last five in a row at the McHale Center. I don't think they've lost at home since Washington beat them back in late January. When you look at Arizona and the makeup of Sean Miller's team, what does impress Coach Paulson about them?
Well, the biggest thing, I think, Steve, is the fact that they play so hard. In some ways, they mirror Bucknell in the sense that their tallest player, actually, is just 6'7", in the post. But they do have great athletic ability. They do rely on the three-point shot a lot. They have a kid off the bench, Lavender, who shoots right around Steve Kerr-type numbers. About 50% of his threes he puts up goes in the hole. And then, of course, they also have their starting point guard now, Kyle Fogg. He kind of plays a two and a one. He also can shoot the three real well. They play really good defense, though, and that's what kept them in so many games. Their games typically are lower scoring in the 60s, the 50s, and that's kind of what Coach Paulson has fashioned his team here, particularly in Patriot League season, to become a defensive-oriented squad.
You talked about the three-point shot and they're effective at it. There's no question about that. I mean, this is a team that shot 38% as a team in three. How tough a handle might Solomon Hill be inside? Because he's a 13-8 guy when it comes to points and rebounds.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was speaking with some of the Arizona folks today during the shoot-around, and he's the kind of guy that will grab the rebound at the one end, and while he's only 6'7", he has the skills, the athleticism to dribble it all the way down the floor and dunk it at the other end. So he's going to be a handle. Mike Muscala may guard him, could have Joe Willman on him at times. Mike obviously is much bigger than him, but, you know, in that case, with the athleticism of Hill, you got to worry about foul trouble for Mike, and that's one thing I'm sure that Coach Miller, Sean Miller, the head coach of Arizona, is going to want to do, try and pump it inside, try and get both Joe as well as Mike in some foul difficulty.
Mike Muscala is a special player. We know that. To get into this kind of competition against this kind of athleticism down the road, where do you see the benefits for him just by being in this tournament and against a team like this and maybe others along the way with a win?
Well, if they do get a win, it would just be tremendous for his confidence, number one. You know, he hasn't had the kind of games that, say, Chris McNaughton in the mid-2000s, the center for Coach Pat Flannery's Bucknell teams had against the real good competition. So if he could, even if it is a 6'7 postman in the form of Hill here for Arizona, although they do bring a couple of big guys off the bench for limited minutes, you know, if he could, I think it would just help his confidence tremendously. He still obviously is eyeing a chance once he graduates next fall, or next May, I should say, to go on to the NBA. Just being on ESPN2 and having that national platform, I think, would be a big help to him. You know, he kind of came out really nervous against both, particularly against Minnesota, and that was somewhat to be expected because it was in his home state, in his own city, actually, area. And then Syracuse, he was just bothered by the sheer size of Fab Mello and some of the other big guys for Syracuse. But if he could get something going here, I just, like you said, I think it would just really help balloon his confidence.
I think the matchup's good for him. You're not talking about people who are going to tower over him. He actually has a size advantage on them. It'll help him. He's far more mobile. When I watch him play, I'm so impressed, Doug, by his mobility because I know he has natural size to begin with.
Oh, yeah, you're right, Steve. You know, of course, he was a guard as he grew up and right. went up through the ranks through junior high school and stuff. So he never has lost that ability to be mobile with the ball. He can handle the ball from the high post all the way down low. This year, he's, because Coach Paulson kind of asked him to and because he wanted to further his game, he has gone more inside this year than what he did his first 2 years where he was more of a perimeter player, and it's really helped his rebound numbers, obviously leading the Patriot League there. And he's just become more of a physical player, which is something he sorely lacked.
Give us an idea of the pace that Dave Paulson wants to play this game at tonight against this team.
Well, you know, again, in the Patriot League schedule, Bucknell has pretty much been in the 50s, 60s, although they could certainly ratchet it up. They scored 90 against Lafayette in the second meeting with the Leopards, and then, of course, put on a 89 in the Patriot League tournament against Lafayette. Lafayette really likes to run up and down. They scored 77 against Lehigh last Wednesday. I would guess, though, Coach Paulson would be pleased from anywhere between 68 and 60 points. Now, conversely, I think Coach Miller would probably be giddy with that kind of score output as well.
Yeah, they average about, what, 70 points a game overall in the season. But then you look at their numbers, you know, they're pretty close, about 69 a game in Pac-12 play. So that's where they like to keep it, Arizona does, along the way. And pace is important. Here's the other part that's interesting, though. And I've discovered this along the way. There are going to be spots open on the floor tonight that haven't been open in 2 months. Because everybody in conference play knows everyone so well, you don't need it. You're scouting. Your players already have it down until you get to a game like this.
That's a great call, Steve, and it's something a lot of people forget. It's kind of like going back to the preseason again, where you're scouting teams for the first time, playing teams for the most part for the first time. Certainly, there are some teams that most every school plays year in, year out, kind of rivalry out of conference games. But now it's an opportunity for some of these Bucknell players to say, you know, hey, you know, this team doesn't know us quite as well. And conversely, they may not really prepare as hard as they may have prepared for even some of their pre-leagues, pre-conference games, because it's Bucknell, you know. So that's a great point, and hopefully Bucknell can take advantage. Now, what you don't want is you don't want a Joe Willman or a Mike Muscala to say, wow, I'm open. I haven't been this open in a game in, you know, 2 months. I'm going to just jack it up and just start throwing things up when they really could get a better shot.
Yeah, no question about that. You do worry about that. Of course, last year, Arizona, and I watched them practice at McHale before they left, because Penn State played the day before they did. Derek Williams was one impressive athlete. I thought to myself, get a load of this dude. And then, of course, you know, but they had the other guys, Fogg and Hill and those guys. Right. But I looked over that. He made such a big difference. Down the stretch, they lost a critical game at Arizona State. Then they lost to Colorado in the semifinals of the Pac-12 tournament. So that's why I'm wondering, where is the mental state of this team right now?
Well, that's exactly what the Arizona folks are wondering. They say there's going to be about 8,000 to 10,000 fans here, even without students. And, you know, that's just how much they, yeah, not bad at all. And that's just how much they love Arizona basketball here. But I'll be interested to see exactly who gets the edge maybe early in the game, looking at some of the NIT games, either scores or actually watching some of them on ESPN's Family of Networks last night. You know, you could tell some teams weren't in it. LSU, for instance, just didn't seem to be in it from the beginning against Oregon. But meanwhile, you had a great game and a come-from-behind almost win for Akron against Northwestern. So, you know, sometimes it takes a little longer for teams to get going. Northwestern, surprisingly, and maybe in some people's minds, they were up for that NIT game. A lot of people thought Northwestern was going to be down just because they had their hopes set so high, not going to the NCAA.
Right, and for Tubby Smith, it's going to be an education when they go to LaSalle. They're going to look around Gola Arena and go, really? Okay.
And three. Let me tell you what, LaSalle is great at home. I think they only lost one home game. They plastered the Bison this year. So, yeah, if Minnesota's not prepared, they may get run out of that gym.
I think, yeah, a young team like Minnesota, he plays a lot of freshmen. That's his freshman classes growing up, Elias and Coleman and those kids, the Highlands guys. Again, when I one time I'm up there for a Fiesta Bowl tournament, and they put it at Lowe's Ventana Canyon, not quite the Viscount Suites that you're in. And so Dave Baker and I are playing golf on the mountain course at Ventana Canyon. And Dave hit a ball that hit the golf, hit the cart path and bounced way up in the air and flew into this guy's swimming pool. And you know whose swimming pool it was, Doug?
I have no clue whose.
Lute Olson's. Okay, so.
Well, Lute's supposed to be there tonight. I think six rows back behind, across the way from their bench.
Doug, I had him on a talk show years ago, and I've talked to him many, many times. You're going to be talking to one of the great gentlemen in college basketball when you get a chance to meet him. He is as nice a man as you could possibly ask to meet.
So. And, you know, he and his first wife, obviously the quarter yes. named after Lute yes. and his first wife. And they that's all I've heard here is just how gracious a man Lute Olson is. Yeah.
Doug, looking forward to it. And I really hope Bucknell can get through this thing. If they get through this thing tonight and get themselves engaged in it, I think they're going to be a very dangerous team. And I hope they enjoy the experience of it because now all of them are going to get that taste of postseason play and survive in advance. And that's a very important thing. And I think the NIT continues to be an extremely valuable tournament and experience.
I agree wholeheartedly with you, Steve. And I know, you know, Penn State, I feel – gained a whole lot when they won the NIT a couple of years ago, and the Chellis' team then went to the NCAA tournament. There are a good number of guys, everybody but Brian Cohen, in terms of quality minutes, comes back next year. This could be a real big boost, as you said, if Bucknell could somehow get a win here and then maybe keep winning.
You never know, and there's nothing like doing a game in the garden.
Exactly. I would love to do that.
I'm sure you would. And when you do, we will talk to you. Good luck tonight. Tell everybody there we said good luck. And tell them that even Kevin said good luck.
Hey, I'm just looking forward to watching Steven Casper. That is one of the best-looking freshmen I've seen in a long time. He's got quick feet, good hands, 28 steals this year. He could be a big difference in this ball game tonight. I'm looking forward to seeing how he reacts on the really big stage there.
It should be really interesting, guys. Thank you so much for having me on today, Steve.
Doug, it was great hearing from you. We'll have you on more often. We're looking forward to the game tonight. It'll be at 9 o'clock. Doug, of course, has his call. By the way, you can see it on ESPN2 tonight. Doug, again, thank you so much, my friend.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Thanks, Kevin. Talk to you all later.
Thanks, Doug.
One quick thing, Doug. What is the temperature there?
83, and right now I'm standing out in front of our hotel, lined with palm trees, clear blue sky, not a cloud in the sky. It's pretty nice.
You know, I looked at the website for that hotel, Doug. There's a nice pool out there. You might have a few minutes to get out and enjoy it a little bit before game time.
Well, you hear a fountain behind me, but the pool's on the other side of the hotel.
Oh, all right.
Kevin, that's Lute Olson's pool.
My mistake.
Look out for the golf. Four.
Doug, thanks. Great call tonight. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
One of the best in the business, Doug Birdsong, who's the play-by-play voice of Bucknell basketball. We'll come back with more of the Steve Jones Show on WKOK after this.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. And if you want to save big at the gas pump, Sunbury Motors Hyundai has the miles per gallon your wallet is looking for. If you trade your current vehicle that gets 22 miles per gallon on a brand new Hyundai Veloster, you'll save $1,647 per year or $8,236 over 5 years. If you're looking for an all-wheel drive to trade in on, a brand new Hyundai Tucson will save you $3,929 over 5 years. Every Hyundai comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And at Sunbury Motors Hyundai, you'll get an additional set of tires. So what are you waiting for? Trade in your current vehicle at Sunbury Motors Hyundai with the possibility of saving thousands over the next 5 years. Go to sunburymotors.com. Hover over new. Click on calculate fuel savings and fill in the rest. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And at sunburymotors.com.
This is Hollywood, where you can celebrate the luck of the Irish Saturday, March 17th at Hollywood on the Roof with $2 corned beef sandwiches and $2 draft beer from 5 to 8 p.m. Plus a live performance with Smooth Like Clyde starting at 8 p.m. Playing all your favorites from the 60s through today, including authentic Celtic songs in honor of St. Patrick's Day. It's all at Hollywood, where the stage is set and the whole cast is here. From the crowd-pleasing chefs in the kitchen to the movers and shakers on the dance floor. From the dealers directing the action to the blockbuster winners and breakout stars. Here, you've got the lead role, because there's no place like Hollywood Casino. Just minutes from Harrisburg and Hershey. Take I-81 to exit 80. Must be 21 or older to enter the casino or attend concert. Gambling problem? Call 1-877-565-2112 for help.
Front Street Station in Northumberland invites you to have a shamrock of a good time with their St. Patrick's Day weekend parties. On Friday, March 16th, behold the luck of the Irish with live entertainment from Jamie O'Brien and the Lonnie's Band. At Front Street Station, you can enjoy the deluxe Irish buffet and the band for only $15 per person. If you just want to party with the band, it's only a $5 cover. Buffet starts at 5:30, entertainment starts at 6. Then come back to Front Street Station in Northumberland on Saturday, March 17th to see Jamie O'Brien rock out the Irish tunes in the main dining room and take advantage of Front Street Station's traditional Irish dinner special, plus regular dinner menu. This year, celebrate St. Patrick's Day the right way with not one, but 2 days at Front Street Station in Northumberland. For reserved seating, call Front Street Station at 473-3626. St. Patrick's Day weekend parties with Jamie O'Brien and the Lonnie's Band Friday, March 16th, and then Jamie O'Brien playing more Irish music on Saturday, March 17th at Front Street Station, number 2 Front Street in Northumberland, a railroad eatery.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents The Road Report. 10 minutes before the hour each weekday morning on WKOK. We'll talk about construction slow spots, and we'll let you know if the weather is going to affect driving. Before you hit the road, check out The Road Report at WKOK.com. Then, listen to News Radio 1070 WKOK to find out what you'll run into on the way to work. The Road Report is on WKOK and WKOK.com.
NCAA Wrestling Championship. Zach Sanders of Minnesota, the number 2 seed at 126, going to take on Bucknell's Austin Miller at 149 pounds. Bryce Bussler from Bloomsburg is going to be taking on the 11 seed Taylor Walsh from Notre Dame. At 157, Frank Hickman of Bloom is going to be taking on Bobby Barnheisel from Navy at 157. At 165, David Taylor and Corey Lear hook up. Taylor, of course, the prohibitive favorite at 165.
Talk
Corey
about
Lear.
A bad draw there for Corey.
Corey, enjoy WrestleBacks.
Yeah, really. It's like, hey, Corey, welcome to the tournament, by the way.
Yeah. But you never know. Hey, that's why you do it. Corey hits one, gets him. He moves on. Taylor's in WrestleBacks. Mike DeCino from Bloom is going to go up against Curran Jacobs of Michigan State. Jacobs is 24-1. And Richard Perry from Bloom is going to take on Joe Kennedy from Lehigh at 197 pounds, just to get everybody up to speed on the NCAA wrestling tournaments. And those from Bucknell and Bloomsburg, they'll be wrestling in the tournament.
Wrestling is about the only sport where you could be behind and still win.
Yes, it is. Yes,
it absolutely is. I always found that intriguing.
Yeah, I also said the NIT is a tournament where everybody enters the tournament at a loss. You were taken aback by that till you thought of it.
No, not completely. I did have to think about it a little bit, though.
Should have thought about that orange tie the day you put it on for the publicity photo. That's where you should have done your thinking.
I'm wearing that come April. Just
Why?
For you.
Why? Just to anger.
I just want to stand out.
Look, before you leave the station, you know what you should do?
What's that?
Consult Bartlett. She'll tell you exactly where you're going wrong.
She my fashion consultant now.
She should be. She has the news at the top of the hour following CBS.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
That would be me. Alongside Kevin Herr, who, by the way, as we've found out in the last 2 days, is paid by the word.
I'm going to starve.
Well, I talked to Drew, and I talked to Sean, and I talked to Roger. And I said, look, I said, the key is to, you know, is to make him move more and eat less. and that's when it was brought up that you were paid by the word.
That explains why it's so warm in the studio, too.
So I knew you wouldn't move more.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. That's nice. Wow. Hang on, I got to get a cotton swab. I got a little bit of a nosebleed right now. Wow.
Oh, goodness gracious. Kevin has been tracking all the free agent signings. Because he's so into where Pierre Garçon's going to play next.
I'm just into football. Love football.
Kyle Orton's a Cowboy, huh?
Yes. Not quite sure where that benefits the Cowboys, but hey. Signed a three-year deal. Well, reportedly signed a three-year deal. It hasn't been made official yet. And really, there's not. I mean, other than that and Pierre Garçon, I thought the Redskins made some nice moves.
Look, Manny's not going to the Dolphins. Matt Flynn's going to the Dolphins.
Well, okay? Yeah,
Matt
that's
Flynn's
the latest.
Of course. What the latest? Joe Philbin was his offensive coordinator with the Green Bay Packers.
Well, wait, I'm trying to find. There was an
two
update,
plus
too.
Two equals. Come on.
I get it. I got no problem with it. But let's see. Flynn's. I know what it was. It was the Browns that basically have pulled out now. The Browns have not pursued Flynn, according to some reports. And there was another report that said that they made an offer to him. That's not true. So it's right now reportedly Seattle and Miami. And I agree with you. I think Miami is not the place for Peyton Manning. So that's their second option, and a good second option.
Well, he knows Joe Philbin's system inside and out.
He should.
I mentioned yesterday on the show the passing of former Nittany Lion basketball coach Dick Harter, who was the one that opened the door for me. Please, Penn State basketball fans, do not be angry with Dick Harter for opening the door to me to broadcast the games. But he was the one that did, along with Jim Tarman back in 1982. Another former Nittany Lion passed away, Money Brown. Monroe Brown, 21 years ago, was guard on the Nittany Lion basketball team along with Freddie Barnes. And in their four-year run together in the backcourt, Penn State went to the second round of the NIT, the NIT Final Four, the second round of the NCAAs, and then back to the NIT. They went to postseason play four consecutive years. When Penn State played UCLA in the 1991 NCAA tournament at the Carrier Dome in Syracuse, Penn State's playing UCLA. They had Murray. They had McLean. They had, Matkins. Those are three NBA guys. Okay? Gerald Matkins, Tracy Murray. They had three NBA guys on that team. Now, Ed O'Bannon was on that team, but he was coming back from a knee injury and did not play in the game against Penn State. But they had three NBA guys. And Penn State won the game 79-74. James Barnes had a big game. Freddie Barnes, as underrated a point guard in Penn State basketball history. When you think of point guards at Penn State, you now think of the Tim Frazier's, the Taylor Battles, the Dan Earls, Joe Crispin. Those are the guys that you think about as point guards of Penn State basketball. Freddie Barnes was one of the steady, reliable point guards who could hit the three. And if you put him at the free throw line at the end of the game, he would knock down free throws left and right and put games away and ran the flex offense for Bruce Parkhill very, very well. His running mate in the backcourt was Money Brown. Money Brown still holds the Penn State record for steals in a game when he had 8 against Rhode Island in a game. It was in Rec Hall. It was an afternoon game. I remember it. In the game against UCLA in 1991, Freddie Barnes, point guard, the guy that you counted on to run this show and really set the pace and the tone of the game, gets 2 personal fouls in the first half. Bruce Parkhill is forced to move Monroe Brown from off guard to point guard. And Money Brown runs the point and does it perfectly the rest of the half. In the second half, for whatever reason, Freddie Barnes picks up 2 more fouls just like that. 4 fouls, he has to sit down. Monroe Brown, for the next 15 minutes on the floor, ran that team to perfection, and he, in the end, was the unsung hero that allowed Penn State to beat UCLA 79-74, then move on to the second round where they lost in double overtime to Eastern Michigan. And that is his place in Penn State basketball history. 4 years starting alongside Freddie Barnes. It was after a trip to Wyoming and the Cowboy Classic, where Bruce Parkhill decided to bring Christian Appleman and Brian Allen off the bench and start Freddie Barnes and Monroe Brown. From that point on, Penn State, which was a 5-6 basketball team at that moment, suddenly became a team that ended up being a 20-game winner. In fact, Penn State won 20 games or more in each of the four seasons Freddie Barnes and Monroe Brown were in the backcourt. They went to the Atlantic 10 Tournament Championship game in 89 as the starting backcourt. They went to the Atlantic 10 Tournament Championship game in 1991 where they won it, and then, of course, beat UCLA in the opening round of the tournament. Then in 92, Penn State was an independent in that transition between the Atlantic 10 and the Big Ten. But Monroe Brown passed away at the age of 41. He encountered a lot of trouble after he left Penn State, trouble that landed him in jail. And then I remember once he got out, he came back. And everyone here, when he finally came back for an alumni weekend, I'm sure he had to be so nervous. And everyone made sure that they understood everybody in life deserved a second chance. And I know that meant everything to him. But Monroe Brown was a fine basketball player here. He had some trouble before he came here. He had trouble after he came here. When he did play here, though, he played extremely well. A big guard that could rebound, could shoot, excellent defensive skills, and in the pinch, in the biggest game of his career, could not have played point guard any better. He was just 41 years old. So I wanted to pass that along. Talk about the NCAA Wrestling Championships in the opening hour of the show with Jeff Byers from St. Louis. We've traveled all around the country today. St. Louis, Tucson, and, of course, Kevin in Sunbury. Did you quit?
I'm just reanalyzing my bracket yet.
You're reanalyzing your bracket?
Yeah. I know I said it to you earlier, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's final yet. Yeah, I made the change in Syracuse-Vanderbilt, by the way.
You did, huh?
Yeah, I went with Vandy.
By the way, not one time have I mentioned the phone number today because we've been so guest-oriented today.
Now would be a good time.
So we'll mention it here because I'd like to hear from you. I could either talk to you or Kevin.
I know where this is going. You can stop right there. Just give the phone number.
1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565.
Who's your sleeper?
I'm plotting my next tweet.
Oh, that'll take him about a month and a half to get on the Twitter feed. Who's your sleeper?
I may shock you tonight.
I doubt it.
Oh, I filled out one of these blasted brackets. I don't know.
You did or you didn't?
I did.
Well, thanks for sharing it with me. It was really nice.
I'm trying to think. I have in the final four, I have Kentucky.
Right.
North Carolina.
Okay.
Missouri and Florida State.
That's interesting. I have Kentucky, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Kansas.
Hmm. Ohio State's not in the tournament. All right, so, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, they are, too. But
Ohio State's interesting. I don't know.
Well,
something about them, it just doesn't quite.
But see, I think they match up better with Vanderbilt than they would Syracuse. So that's where it works out really well for me. With Vanderbilt beating Syracuse in the regional semis.
Vanderbilt's a senior-oriented team. This is their shot. They have not had a lot of success. I picked 2 14s. I picked Belmont to beat. And 14-3 doesn't usually work out, but what the heck.
I have Belmont.
I have Belmont over Georgetown. I have BYU winning over Marquette.
No, I didn't do the BYU Marquette. I have Belmont winning over Georgetown, and I have them beating NC State as well, because I have NC State over San Diego State.
I have NC State over San Diego State, but I have NC State beating Belmont.
Something about Belmont I like.
See, once you're mentally engaged in the tournament, you are then not surprised by anybody along the way.
Well, there's always
one. You don't take anybody lightly.
Yeah, there's always one team that seems to sneak in on everybody that nobody seems to have on the bracket. And Belmont gives me the feel that they're going to be that team this year.
Well, they've won 14 in a row entering the tournament. They have the longest winning streak in the country. Well, but you're used to winning. I told you last year I was in the tunnel with Northern Colorado at the McHale Center where Doug is. And they were coming out for their shoot-around because Penn State had just finished. They were energetic, excited, and confident. Why? Because all they had been doing before they entered the building was win. So one of the differences in the NCAA compared to the NIT, there are a bunch of teams that enter the NCAA tournament on wins. Bunch of them have some momentum, used to winning. You have to get the nerves out. You saw last night, Western Kentucky, Mississippi Valley State, the nerves were there. They couldn't hit anything. Then Western Kentucky goes on a 16-1 run to close the game, win the game, so they come from behind. BYU's down 25 with 4 minutes to go in the first half. And the team in Iona scores 55 in the first half and 15 in the second half. Are you kidding me? Oh, and by the way, tonight, Cal and South Florida, it's your choice. You can watch that game or a tractor pull. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. We'll explain that comment in a moment on WKOK.
Get comfortable in a new Lazy Boy recliner during the bonus coupon sale going on now at Plaza House Furniture. Shop the area's largest selection of Lazy Boy furniture and save on chaise recliners just $3.99. Big Man's Aster recliner just $5.99. Save $80 on the Clark reclining sofa, now just $7.49. And save on a beautiful leather recliner, just $6.99. Plus, save even more when you go to plazahouse.com and type in keyword KO, where it says get $25 gift certificate. You'll get a gift certificate that's as good as cash. As always, get free delivery on any $3.90 purchase or more, plus 0% financing is available during the bonus coupon sale going on now. Look for the flyer in your local paper.
It's what life is all about. Come on over to our house, where the value is real. Our house is Plaza House. Plaza House.
Plaza House Furniture, Routes 11 and 15, Sealands Grove, and Route 11, Bloomsburg.
To W&L Subaru in Northumberland right now as they celebrate the Subaru Love Spring event with financing as low as 0.9%. Here's Andy with the details.
At 31 miles per gallon highway, the all-wheel drive Subaru Legacy delivers better fuel economy than even two-wheel drive competitors. Plus, during the Subaru Love Spring event, we can offer financing as low as 0.9% on all Subaru Legacy.
So seize the moment and head into W&L Subaru where they have great deals on all-wheel drive Subaru Legacies, Outbacks, Foresters, Tribecas, and even the all-new redesigned Subaru Imprezas.
You should stop by and see our newly expanded lot where we have over 100 new and used vehicles to choose from.
Get a great deal on a car built to make the most of spring at W&L Subaru in Northumberland, now through April 2nd.
Or see us on the web at WNLSubaru.com.
EPA estimated fuel economy for 2011 Subaru at Legacy 2.5i, CVT Model 31 Highway. Actual mileage may vary. Financing applies to Subaru Legacy Limited Model CAF01.
At not-for-profit hospitals, doctors focus on doing what is right for patients, not doing more procedures to earn more money. I'm Dr. Glenn Steele, President and CEO of Geisinger Health System, with a continuing discussion on improving health care. Not-for-profit healthcare organizations make decisions with patients in mind, not shareholders. They reinvest revenue where it belongs, into facilities, equipment, and services to improve care and better serve the community. Our country has excellent not-for-profit and for-profit healthcare organizations. As we work to improve healthcare quality and lower costs, we all need to focus on putting patients first. A healthier America is within reach. For Geisinger Health System, I'm Dr. Glenn Steele.
Every day, get expert insight on the market and the economy and how both can impact your finances and investments with the Wall Street Journal Report on WKOK. You'll also get coverage of major global stories, political events, medical breakthroughs, emerging technology, and more. Listen for the Wall Street Journal Report weekday mornings at 25 after and 5 minutes before the hour from 6 to 8:30. Then, hear more insightful coverage weekday afternoons from 5 to 7. Weekend mornings, catch the report Saturdays in the 9 o'clock hour and Sundays in the 10 o'clock hour. Only on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Lamar against Vermont tonight, opening game at Dayton. I have to admit that last night was the first time I watched True TV since last year's NCAA tournament.
You couldn't name one show on True TV except for the tournament games.
No, although I saw promos for several of them last night, and I tuned those out despite Jim Nance's best efforts.
You know, that's a smart move, though, for CBS to throw those promos on there because, like, you know, half the people, I'd say three-quarters of the people safely, have never watched True TV.
Last time I watched Channel 841 here on the local cable was by accident. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. I haven't watched this since last year's tournament.
I don't think I have either.
No. Tonight, Lamar at 640 takes on Vermont. Catamounts actually won 11 games this year away from Patrick Gymnasium. Patrick, I've done a game in Patrick. 3,200-seat bandbox, quite a home court advantage for them. I like it. Burlington's a beautiful area anyway. But they won 11 games away from Patrick this year, which for them is phenomenal. They won their America East semifinal down at Chase Arena in West Hartford. Could beat my man Johnny Gall. John Gallagher, but Dick and I call him Johnny Gall. Johnny Gall's team in the semifinals at Chase. Then they went to Stony Brook on Long Island and won the America East Championship. Pat Knight, meanwhile, has told everybody that he has the worst senior class in the history of senior classes. By the way, tonight Lamar will start four seniors. They're both 23-11. The second game tonight, 1st-55 wins.
Take the under.
Cal is a team that actually averages almost 72 points per game. They have four players on their team averaging in double figures. South Florida has exactly how many players in double figures, Kevin?
I don't know. Tell me.
Oh, boy.
None.
Good one. Yes, none. Penn State beat this team at the Mohegan Sun 53-49. And I did not see 12 Big East wins in this team. Victor Rudd is a transfer from Arizona. Ryan Anderson's a transfer from Kansas State. I think you're starting to get the idea of the trend here. The Trice kid comes off the bench. He's a transfer. The guy that makes the engine go, though, it really makes them go. And Gilchrist is a beast. I think he transferred from Maryland. He's a beast. I mean, big, powerful. To take Kevin's car, toss it over a hedge. And the guy that makes them run is Anthony Collins, the point guard. You get late in a game, Collins is an 86% free throw shooter that if South Florida is nursing a lead, he will be able to allow them to nurse it all the way home to the finish line. But they take the game and they ratchet it down. They held 11 opponents in the 50s this year. They held 7 opponents in the 40s this year. You notice the Penn State final. Penn State beat them, but only scored 53 in doing so, 53-49. So that's 18 opponents in either the 40s or the 50s. First team to 55 tonight wins. I think Cal's got enough firepower to do it. And you'll probably see better prepared teams tonight than last night. last night's games, too difficult to prepare. You find out at 7. You rack up as much tape as possible. You get your team on a plane and get them out there to Dayton. You find yourself a practice floor, whether it's at the UD arena or at a high school gym, and you try to go over whatever, and then the shoot-around is invaluable for you on Tuesday. It's invaluable. You need it. You take Bucknell playing tonight against Arizona. They've known about Arizona since Sunday night. Coach Paulson's had a chance to put his team on the floor, practice them on Monday. Travel day yesterday, probably practice first, then travel. Then they had a shoot-around today, a normal shoot-around. Probably had an hour-and-a-half shoot-around today, normal. Plenty of time to get ready. Those teams last night had no time to get ready. Tonight's teams do. Tonight's teams, they found out Sunday night, racked up some tape, you know, especially in the South Florida Cal thing. There's plenty of tape on both teams.
Is that why we saw so many comebacks? Well, we saw two comebacks last night. Just because...
Maybe. For example, BYU is a team that in Dave Rose's first five seasons played some 2-3 zone, but their base defense was man-to-man. This year, they switched it around and played more 2-3 zone. And there are certain ways everybody plays it. Some people slide it. Some people bump it. You watched last night, they bumped their 2-3 zone. And when I mean they bump it, that means the guys in the wings and at the top get to that wing and they'll double the wing. That's the bump. All right? While the other one slides over to the elbow and the foul line. All right? And it's the way they played it in the second half that was suffocating. Also for Iona, when you press, what is the single most important factor in pressing?
I thought it was a rhetorical. I thought you were going to answer the question. I thought it was one of those you asked the listenership. I'm still here.
You can answer the question.
What's the most important thing in pressing?
Yes, when you press a team defensively.
When you press a team, well, get them in the corner and trap.
No.
Okay. What would it be then?
Making shots.
You're looking at it from an offensive standpoint.
You make the shot, you can set your defense up. Okay? What happened to Iona is that they did such a great job in the 2-3 zone that they were missing shot after shot after shot. They couldn't press BYU. Why? Because they weren't making shots anymore. Thus, they couldn't set the defense up. When you're making shots, then you can set up the defense. Right? That's when you can press. Now, are you following me?
I am.
Grasshopper.
I was thinking about the ball already being in play, but it makes total sense what you're saying. I get it.
I've done 9,000 of these things.
I'm not doubting you. Not doubting.
But again, think of it. They could not set up the press because they weren't making shots. And seeing a 2-3 zone like that, the way BYU plays it, it's one thing to simulate it in practice. It's another thing to see it in practical, in front of you. And Iona didn't react to it. And Iona could not react to BYU's size inside. Normally, you're vulnerable rebounding the ball in a zone. Normally, you look at Syracuse. Syracuse plays a base 2-3, right? All the time. That's all they ever play. Do you realize that they've been out-rebounded this year? It's only slight. It's only like 0.4 a game. But they still have been out-rebounded, despite they have a long front line. They've actually been out-rebounded this year. Because you don't rebound as well out of a zone as you do out of man-to-man.
And they're going to rebound a lot less, too, without a 7-footer.
Right. Right. No, last night, 2-3 zone, they were able to not just rebound, but they were blocking shots inside. And when Iona lost their inside game and had to rely on nothing but outside shots, and the way they were playing the 2-3 zones, daring them to beat them by bumping on the wings, took them out of it. Bucknell tonight, Eagle 107, airtime at 8:40. We'll talk to you tomorrow about the tournament on WKOK. Sarah Bartlett and the news following CBS at the top of the hour.